You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al, Powder, and Maddie D.
Episode 250, boys.
Legends Lingo Podcast. What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 250, presented by studentunionsports.com. Make sure to check out everything going on at studentunionsports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcast and everything else in between. You know them by now. You want soccer? Go to the Yellow Card Podcast. You want all betting advice on all sports? Go to the Chasers Podcast. By the way, shout out to former co-host and current Chasers co-host, Tom Saban-Fassett. Happy belated birthday, sir. Happy birthday, Fiesta.
Can I give a shout out to Jones? He got into a school this week.
Really?
Yeah, he's going. I think he got into Southern New Hampshire.
You know, good for him. My alma mater.
There you go. So congratulations to other
to Jones.
Yeah, congrats to other Chasers co-host Chris Jones for getting into school. Four-year school, love that. Do you know if that's for his master's or for his regular?
No idea. Okay, no idea.
Regardless, shout out to Chris Jones for doing that. So we'd love to hear that. If you want all your college football news and lines and predictions and everything else, make sure to check out the Is It Saturday Yet podcast, especially with the bowl games coming up and the college football playoff already set. And of course, for all Boston sports needs, please make sure to check out the Legends Lingo podcast, as always. So real quick, by the way, I just want to ask this. So for the college football playoff, it's number one seed Michigan taking on number four seed Alabama, and then number two seed Washington's taking on number three seed Texas. Do I have that right, Maddie?
Yes.
Who do we have winning the college football playoff, just real quick?
I think the finals is going to be Michigan and Texas, and I think Michigan beats Texas.
I was going to say Michigan. I think Harbaugh finally finds a way to win his first, his first national championship.
Let's just sweep it across the board. I want Michigan to win it all just to shut everybody up. That would be a hell of a story. Then Harbaugh leaves to go to the NFL. That would be incredible.
Justice for Florida State, by the way.
Yeah, Florida State should have gotten in. But, I mean, I understand.
I get why they didn't, but they absolutely still should have gotten in.
Oh, of course they should have. But, of course, because Jordan Travis is out. They figure it's not a good product. Like, I get the reasoning, but still,
it's
let them in. They were undefeated.
Travis, though, that's the thing. Like, no one's
realizing
how bad Florida State looked against Louisville in the ACC championship game. Like, they only won, like, I think it was like 16-6 or something like that was the final score. Like, it was not a good game at all. Like, if Florida State had blown them out, different story.
Well,
it was bad.
Speaking of a horrible game, let's just get right into it. The Patriots played a horrible game against the, I'm going to call them the San Diego Chargers, because they don't deserve to be called the Los Angeles Chargers after the way they played on Sunday. So the Chargers beat the Patriots in week 12 by a score of 6-0. No, it's not baseball. No, it's not the beginning of basketball. And no, it's not a blowout in hockey. This was an actual football score in the NFL.
Also not week 12, week 13.
Was it week 13?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because I keep forgetting it's 1 week back. So week 13, sorry. So week 13, Patriots now fall to 2-10. And look, I'm not going to lie to you guys, there wasn't much to watch in this game. I mean, what was there really to come out of this game? The Patriots defense looked really good. Justin Herbert didn't look that great. His receivers, by the way, Justin Herbert, can we talk about that for a sec? Justin Herbert's receivers and tight ends, they're obviously all better than the Patriots receivers and tight ends. We know that. But honestly, I would get that guy some help because he has nothing besides Keenan Allen. Besides Keenan Allen, he has nothing. Nothing at all. But this Chargers defense was one of the worst defenses in the NFL. You switched to Bailey Zappe. Fine, I get it. He needed some spark on offense. Yeah, he looked okay. His pocket awareness, I will give him credit. His pocket awareness, way better than Mac Jones. But his touch on his throws and some of his decisions that he makes, I don't know, guys. I can't get into it, but you know what? At this point, I don't have to get into it because we're rooting for losses at this point. Like, if one more win comes this season, that's great. But just keep losing. You're 2-10. Lose 5 more games. Assure yourself of the number 2 pick, at least. Maybe even number 1 if a miracle happens with Carolina. But at least put yourself in a position where you're either going to get Caleb Williams 100% or 50%, Drake May 100 or 50%, or even you surprise everyone and get Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State. That's what you should be doing right now. Keep losing the games, because after what I saw on Sunday, obviously that offense needs a complete rebuild. The defense is fine. I think the defense is doing its job. You know, the defense has let up 26 points in the last 3 games and lost all 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
First time since 1938, done by the Chicago Cardinals, who are not even an NFL team anymore. Take that, Bill Belichick, you historian, you. But again, there was not much. I mean, Tyquan Thornton, there was Zappe made a good throw to Thornton down the left sideline, had it right in his hands, go right through his hands. So he's looking like a bust. But there's nothing left to really talk about this Patriots team because there's nothing. It's the defense plays well, the special teams is mediocre at best, and the offense is worse than a high school offense. That's where we're at with this Patriots team. I don't know if you guys want to add anything about the game itself or just any other Patriots thoughts, but at this point, it's not even watchable. At least the offense isn't.
I think this is the most masterful tank job in the history of sports. Losing games, making it seem like they're competitive, but they're losing games to get a high pick. Losing 10-7, 10-6, and then 6-0. That's just, you're making it seem like you're trying to compete and you're actually not. Defense playing Super Bowl caliber. I think if they had probably half the quarterbacks in the league, they would be contending for a top seed in the playoffs. But you know what? Like you said, Al, we're hoping for losses at this point, and I couldn't be happier with the way they're playing. Their defense is playing great, showing that they obviously need to improve. You need to improve every year, but it's what their offense needs to do. You need to really revamp the offense completely. And I just think it's showing with that. So,
I mean, here's my thing. Like, yeah, we're going for losses. All right, we saw what Zappe can't really do. I think we've all known he's not the guy anyways. He had a couple good games last year, and that was it. I mean, hell, let's see what the hell. Like, what is it going to hurt if we play like Cunningham? Let's see what the hell he can do. Now, suddenly, if he provides an offensive spark, we're going to tell him, hey, like, cut it out. We're trying to lose here. But, not going to hurt. Throw him in there. See what happens. Maybe even, we have Will Greer back on the practice squad. Throw him out there. Like, let's just see what the hell we have. Let's at least just have fun with it. Because as it was said previously, these games are just starting to become not watchable anymore. Like, I was watching the game on Sunday, and I said, this isn't even watchable. I feel like I'm watching like a peewee football game right now, considering, it was $20 to go to this game. So I'm sure that made Robert Kraft happy of how cheap it was to go. There's really nothing left to say other than I think if Mac was in there, I think the score would have been worse. There was a pick six in there somewhere if he was in that game. But
well, I was going to say, how can it be much worse? You didn't score. How much worse can it get?
I mean, like, if Mac threw a pick, if there was, allowing an actual touchdown, that was the only way it could get worse. But, yeah, it was a rough one. You can only improve from Sunday to tomorrow night. So, that's all I got.
Yeah, there's not a lot else that really goes without saying at this point. I mean, what more can you say about a 2-10 football team? They're so terrible. And what makes it worse is now we have to experience, but it's also kind of good in a way. So the Patriots are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers in week 14, Thursday night football. Pittsburgh is without quarterback Kenny Pickett, and they are also looking like they could be without running back Najee Harris. But again, it doesn't matter if you can't move the ball. It doesn't matter if you can't put the ball in the end zone or even put the ball through the uprights as a kicker, because Chad Ryland a couple of weeks ago, can't make a clutch kick to save his life. Nice pick there, Bill. But again, what are you going to do this offseason to fix this? Because at least in 2022, you made it watchable. Now, Matt Patricia, we gave a lot of shit to. We really did. A lot of shit. But at least there were some games where they put up points. Like I remember last year with Zappe starting, they put up 38 in Cleveland. If this team scored 38 points, we'd be throwing a party down Mass Ave.
Yep.
But at this point,
I'm driving to your house, Al. If they put up 40 points in a game this season, I'm driving to your house and we're going streaking.
Well, that sounds like a one-person thing. So have fun with that. Don't get too cold and shriveled. But anyways, so with that, right?
That much.
Look at Powder. Oh, Maddie, you set yourself up for that one, but
I hate you guys.
That one is too easy.
My girlfriend enjoyed that way too much too.
Good job. Good
I
job,
had girlfriend. To. It was set on T for me.
Oh, I was literally on a T waiting to be belted to left center. Oh, my goodness.
Something we'll never see this year, being belted to left center. But anyways.
So talking about this Patriots-Steelers game, I mean, it's going to be a battle of two identical teams because the Steelers pride themselves on defense. Yeah, they have a couple receivers as weapons. Like, they have a couple good receivers. But other than that, it's going to be another low-scoring game. If you can bet the under, take the under. I know I'm going to do that probably. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I mean, unless do you guys have anything else you want to add that's crucial to this game, or should we just put out a quick score prediction?
I got nothing.
Let's do a quick score.
All right. 13-3 Steelers.
I'll go 17-6 Steelers. Yeah,
guys, stole both mine. You know what? I'm going to say it's going to be the exact same score as last year. 17-14 Steelers, though. This time the Steelers win.
Ah, man. And think about the quarterback matchup. Bailey Zappe against Mitch Trubisky.
Money Mitch. Hey, you never know. Mitch Trubisky from a few years ago in Chicago when they won the division, that Mitch might show up.
Well, listen, if Mitch leads the Steelers down the first drive of the game, the Patriots might just want to pack it in and go home right there.
Yep.
Because we know they ain't coming back.
They might be like, all right, we're going to Pats down in Philadelphia. Screw this. We're out of here.
Actually, one thing to actually talk about in that game that's actually worth talking about, Ramondre Stevenson left the game with an ankle sprain, and it looks like he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. At this point, and I think we all can agree with this, just shut him down for the year.
Don't even play him this year.
Don't even play him the rest of the year. Don't let him play another snap. Just say, you know what, Ramondre, we're going nowhere. You're going to be a big part of the offense next year. Just pack it in for 2023. Be ready for 2024, and just let's move on. Fully embrace the tank, because now the only, like, two weapons, and I'm putting weapons lightly, weapons in air quotes, Hunter Henry a little bit, but he's not even getting targets, and Zeke Elliott's a backup running back now. That's what we're looking forward to on offense, because who are our wide receivers right now? Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, Jalen Reagor. Who else? Pop Douglas is out with a concussion. Yeah. Moody's out with a shoulder injury. Hmm. Like, they have nobody.
Do they have a wide receiver on the practice squad they can call up at all?
Yeah.
Other than Cunningham?
They literally have nobody.
Like, I'm just picturing a Patriots offense without Mondre and without Douglas. And it's just not a good time right now picturing that. No disrespect to Zeke, because he's been good this year. But, like, it's going to be rough. Because who the hell do we have after Zeke? Ty Montgomery, right?
He's next.
Oh, God. Yep. Oh, God. All right. This is going to be worse than Thanksgiving dinner when I was a kid. Oh, God.
Well, that's because you didn't have stuffing at the table. But anyways. Well,
stuffing sucks, but yeah.
We're not getting back into this. We're not getting back into this. If you want to listen to that clip, find that clip on the Student Union Sports Twitter page at Student Union Sports. They have great clips of all the podcasts that you can think of. All right.
For uptake about stuffing on that clip. But yeah.
All right. Moving on. You guys have anything else on the Patriots that you want to get off your chest?
They suck. I can't wait for this season to be over. I can't wait for the playoffs where it could be just stress-free. Don't even worry about the Patriots. Can't wait.
Five more weeks. Lose all five. Get at least number two. Put yourself in a position to get either Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams, or Drake May. And honestly, I would choose between Williams and Harrison Jr. Drake May, coming from North Carolina, scares me a little bit because the number production kind of went down, especially second half of the college season. But you know what? Maybe he could be a great asset here. Who knows? But again, put yourself in a position where you can take one of those three. And you have at least an option to pick between two of them. Make that your priority. All right, let's move on to a team that actually wins, the Celtics. But unfortunately, the Celtics didn't win the other night. In the in-season tournament, they fell to the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. I believe the final score was, I don't even know what the final score was. Someone look up the final score.
112-105. Let me confirm.
So the Celtics lost.
122-112.
122-112, and they were actually tied with like 2 minutes to go. And then Tyrese Halliburton just went prime Michael Jordan on everybody in the last literal 2 minutes. But anyways, I just want to ask you guys this one simple question. Do you guys truly care that the Celtics are not winning the in-season tournament?
I don't truly care. Obviously, it'd be a good thing. It's just momentum, and obviously the players get a little bit of money, and you always want to see them. Like, obviously, they're paid a ton of money, but you want to see them succeed and everything being Celtics fan, but it's not the NBA Finals. At the end of the day, who cares?
Maddie?
I don't care. Players don't care. I don't care. I don't think Brad Stevens care. Joe Mazzulla doesn't care. They'd care just in general just to get the win, obviously, because it's nice to get a win in game in general, but like, who gives a shit? No. I'd rather win Banner 18.
I care 0.01%, and here's why. To me, this was a big game for the Celtics. It was a game early in the season. It was a tournament type of game. And it's a type of game that in the past they've needed to win and they haven't done it and they didn't do it again. That's the only reason that I'm a little upset. Otherwise, yeah, it's an in-season tournament. Like, whatever. It is what it is. I think it's like the Bucks. I think it's the Bucks, the Pacers, and then I think it's the, what is it, the Suns, and then either the Kings.
The Lakers beat the Suns.
Lakers beat the Suns. Okay, so the Lakers, and then is it the Kings or the Pelicans?
Oh, God. I don't even remember.
Yeah, see, so, but see, but that shows right there that we don't care about it that much. We don't even know what teams are left in it. But again, if this Celtics team truly wants to make a jump, first of all, they need Kristaps Porzingis back and healthy, which it looks like he's going to be back in the lineup Friday night against the Knicks. So that's a good sign.
It's the Pelicans.
Okay. But again, you got to make sure that you take care of business because you have no more excuses. There are no more excuses at this point. You have to be able to win the big game. You have to be able to win in the playoffs, whether it's in season or postseason. Get the job done and do what you have to do. Because if not, it's going to be a long off season of they still can't get over the top. They still can't finish the job, et cetera, et cetera. But again, not the biggest of deals, but I hope this doesn't become a habit down the line. All right.
And again, like I said last week, I'd rather have Porzingis be injured now than like in like April.
No, that's very true. All right. Before we get into Red Sox, Powder had to go do something, so I will do it. Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar, A&B Kitchen and Burgers. Whether you want a burger, locally crafted beer, chicken pot pie, or anything else that is
pot pie
on your mind for food. Make sure to check out A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers. They have the best of everything. If you want the experience of being at the game without actually being at the game, they have all the TVs that you can think of so you can hear the noise from the garden inside the actual restaurant. So what are you waiting for? Make sure that you head on down to A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers, both in Boston, Mass. And Beverly, Mass. And make sure to tell them that the Legends and those Lingo Boys sent you. And again, we would love to get a live show. I know we joked about it, but I'm serious. I would love to get a live show.
Yeah, I mean, at this rate, Al, I want to go there with you guys, you know? Like, I mean, like, I had a burger tonight. It was good, but I'm sure it's not as good as A&B burgers.
It's not.
Probably what I had, probably not. It was still good what I had, but I mean, the beer I had was delicious, but.
There you go. All right, so this is going to be the last thing we talk about, but it's going to be something we talk about probably for the next 15, 20 minutes. This is kind of the big things that we wanted to talk about. So the MLB winter meetings have come and gone now. They were from Sunday, December 3rd to Wednesday, December 6th, as we are recording on Wednesday night, December 6th. So not a lot of big moves happened. The two big moves that happened involved the AL East. I mean, you had a couple other small signings. You had Kirby Yates go to the Rangers. Oh, Craig Kimbrell signed with the Orioles on a one-year deal.
Craig Kimbrell. All right.
Yeah, that sounds kind of cool. But the big thing that happened for the Red Sox was not a signing, but it was actually a trade. Alex Verdugo is officially headed to the New York Yankees in exchange for right-handed pitchers Richard Fitz, Greg Weisert, and Nicholas Judas. And this was according to Jeff Passan, and this happened around 9 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday night. So kind of digging into the trade, first things first, I mean, we have to say it. That Mookie Betts trade now officially is one of the worst trades in, I don't think just Red Sox history.
MLB history.
But MLB history. You had a generational talent, and you traded him for a guy that you had for about 4 years who became a problem at the end. I don't care what anybody says. Alex Verdugo was checked out the last 2 months. You have a guy that you does 7 weeks. Yeah, 7 weeks comment. Exactly. You have another guy that was DFA'd and is now playing for the Nationals, I believe, in Jeter Downs. And then Connor Wong, at best, is a serviceable MLB catcher. You got hosed on that deal. You got absolutely fleeced, pants pulled down, everything. You got screwed in that deal. And that's unacceptable. So shame on Chaim Bloom for that being his first move and his it kind of like foreshadowing what we were going to see.
Too, really, in a way, too.
It was. And now you had at least had a piece that embodied Boston, what was great. But honestly, guys, I'm not surprised that Alex Verdugo got traded. Like, initially, when you see it, you're like, wow. But then when the shock wears off after a minute, you're like, it makes sense. Because Alex Verdugo did not want to be here. And you know what? At the trade deadline last year, the Red Sox and Yankees were talking about Alex Verdugo. The Yankees have wanted Alex Verdugo for almost a calendar year now. And now they have him. Because Verdugo's swing, it's a left-handed swing. You know how right field is at Yankee Stadium. It's a bandbox, so Verdugo's swing will play well there. And he needed a change of scenery. Because in Boston, he wasn't going to pan out past 2023. He had the issue in Cleveland not running out the ground ball. He had the issue at Fenway where he showed up late and then got benched by Alex Cora. He had the 7 weeks comment, as Powder just said a second ago. It was time for Verdugo to go. And now you have Masataka Yoshida. You have Jaron Duran. Looks like Willie Abreu is going to have a chance to win a spot in spring training. But now you have to use that $9 million that you cleared up for the Alex Verdugo trade. And I hope that they put it toward a starting pitcher or two, because God knows they need it. So I just want your guys' reaction. Alex Verdugo trade to the Yankees. Do you like it, dislike it, indifferent? What say you guys?
Matty, you want to go?
I liked Verdugo as a player. I was a little sad to see him go at first. But then, you know, thinking about all the crap that came up with him, it's like, all right, good thing we saw him. Good thing we saw him out the door, basically. The one thing that I don't like about this trade, like the absolute one thing, is that I think in a way this might have just given the green light for Juan Soto to go to the Yankees. The Padres are, you know, looking for someone, and you know, they could send Verdugo to San Diego to get Juan Soto, because obviously the Padres would not pay Verdugo the kind of money they've paid Soto, and you know, everyone else that's over there. But that's really the only thing I'm not a fan of in that trade. Other than that, good trade. Let's hope some of these prospects work out. If not, then, you know, we're used to it, unfortunately. But what say you, Powder? What do we got since Al decided to disappear on us?
No, I agree with you. I think it's a good thing to see Alex Verdugo go. I have his jersey, the one Red Sox jersey I own right now. I liked him as a player. I thought he was a great like fit for Boston, like Al said, but just it soured at the very end of the season this year, and I did not see him coming back for a 2024 season. And I just think it's time that he went. And yeah, it looks like a deal for Soto is looking more and more likely as the hours go on. So we'll see what happens. But obviously the Red Sox kind of need to retool, and we'll see what happens. Let's see what they do.
This Red Sox team drives me nuts. They do. They drive me nuts, because now what are you going to do? Are you going to actually go out and do something? Because it looks like, and Powder alluded to it, so let's talk about it. Looks like Juan Soto is going to end up with the New York Yankees.
Hey, I said it too. Give me credit.
So Powder said that Juan Soto is going to the Yankees. So that means that the Yankees now will have in the same outfield Alex Verdugo, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge. It's a pretty good outfield.
Yes, it is.
two superstars and a guy that can hit probably right around 260 and play good defense for you. So the Yankees have upgraded. What have the Red Sox done? They got three pitchers and revamped their farm system a little bit with the pitching. That's great. But what are you going to do now to help your major league team? Are you going to go out and sign Yoshinobu Yamamoto? You better, because apparently he's one of the Red Sox top priorities, but I'm sick of the Red Sox being interest kings. I'm going to take something from the old Section 10 and now name Redacted Pod. Stop being interest kings. Go out and actually sign the guys. Like I said, sign Yamamoto, sign Montgomery, make yours. And you know what? If you want to add a third pitcher, go get Seth Lugo too. You were interested in him last offseason. You sign Yamamoto, Montgomery, and Lugo to go along with Sale and Bayo, and then you can put a six starter in there. That improves your rotation tenfold. So again, I don't understand what's so hard about going out and at least attempting and making an aggressive push to go sign these guys. Step up your offer. At least if you're going to lose, be the runners up. Literally, if Yamamoto's like Yamamoto signs with Giants, Red Sox were very close, I'm fine with that because at least they're being aggressive. You could say, oh yeah, Craig Breslow, like credit to him. You know, trading with the Yankees, you don't normally see that. Interdivision, you normally don't see that. It's like, yeah, you got rid of Alex Verdugo. Good for you. He was going to go anyway. So now what are you going to do? You made your first move. Great. What's next? The winter meetings are over. Supposedly, Ohtani's going to sign with a new team after the weekend, and then Yamamoto is supposed to sign. So are you going to step it up in the next week, or are you going to let these teams just pass you and not even have a chance or even be in the same ballpark? That's what frustrates me. I don't know if you guys just have any general Red Sox thoughts or any general winter meeting thoughts, but please share them because I am just in no mood to talk about this anymore because I just feel like at the end of the day, Red Sox aren't going to do anything.
I just hope they're aggressive. You know, go get someone to improve the team. I mean, right now, when you look at the Boston sports, the four of them, obviously the Celtics and Bruins are at the top of the four. Then it's like, all right, like Patriots, yeah, they're 2-10, whatever, but like maybe the future, the promising future could be there with the, you know, the whole situation there with the draft and all. But it's like, if you had to pick between, you know, removing your bias about like everything that you had, if you have to pick between, let's say the same ticket prices as well, Patriots or Red Sox, like I'm gonna go to Gillette every time. I don't want to go to Fenway. Like Red Sox, it's like they don't make an effort to get better. Instead, they're trading for all these prospects for a what if situation. Where it's like the Patriots eventually they could, you know, make an effort to get better, but it's like it's tough to really want to be like, I want to go to Fenway and spend $200 there at Fenway or something like that. It's just because you got management who you got an owner who doesn't care. I mean, you got Craig Breslow who's gonna try, but you know, how much can he really do depending on what, you know, John Henry is telling him to do and everyone else? I mean, I would love to get Yamamoto, but I just have a weird feeling Yamamoto's not going to come here. I have a feeling he might even follow Ohtani, but we'll see, obviously. Scares me that I think it's Monday next week. Yamamoto's meeting with the Yankees, and if the Yankees have Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo, and Aaron Judge in an outfield, as someone who's coming to the MLB, you see that, you're like, oh, that's a good outfield. Maybe I want to, you know, pitch for this team and have that outfield behind me. Ugh.
Final thoughts.
I just hopefully the Red Sox find a way to step up. They haven't in a long time, and hopefully the Yankees getting Soto, if that does happen, which it seems, like I said, very likely, that it signals Red Sox they need to go back to the old ways where they were competing with the Yankees for all the major players and everything like that.
All right, so we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. Hopefully we get a good Christmas gift this year from the Red Sox, but I'm not counting on much. Before we go, Powder, you had something that you texted us in the group chat that was very interesting, and it's baseball related. So why don't you read what you had and open up that discussion?
Yes, so I was scrolling Twitter during work. Don't tell my boss.
Too late. I know where your boss is, and I see your boss every week, so I'm telling him, go on.
But I saw a Pitching Ninja tweet this out. It says, bad news, you sold to the devil. Good news, you can win it back by beating the devil's team in one baseball game. Naturally, Satan's team has 9 best hitters ever. But you can pick any pitcher in history to pitch versus the Devils team. Who's your starting pitcher? So it could be any pitcher. Doesn't matter if they did steroids, as Liam kind of said. But any pitcher in baseball history you can pick to beat the Devils team.
I want to go last because I think mine is the best. Not even going to sugarcoat it.
Powder, do you want to kick us off since this was your idea?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this ever since I sent it. There's a couple names that come to my head that I just think would be great picks for this. I just think you have to go with someone who pitched in big games, found ways to win a lot of big games, and has just unbelievable stuff that can play with the best hitters of all time. And I'm going to go, and I'm still debating in my head, but I'm just going to go with the big unit, Randy Johnson. I just think him from the left side throwing whatever he threw, 100 with a nasty slider. Obviously, I know probably some of the best hitters that could be in the lineup could be lefty or righties that could hit lefties, but I still think Randy Johnson didn't care. He had, I think, 4,000 strikeouts, one of the greatest pitchers ever. So I'm going Randy Johnson.
That's a great pick. Do I go next just so that way Maddie can't steal mine?
Do it.
Can I go next? No, I want. I doubt we have the same one. Seriously doubt it.
All right, let's hear it. What do you got?
So I did my research a little bit on like really good pitchers from way back in the day.
Okay.
Mine is in the Hall of Fame. He's a 2-time MVP, 3-time Triple Crown. He won the 1924 World Series. And he has the best ERA 5 times in the MLB. That would be the he was known as the Big Train.
Walter Johnson. AKA,
Walter Johnson of the Washington Senators. I mean, guys, this guy, his career ERA was 2.17. That's pretty damn good. Won 417 games. He got 34 saves in his career, too. Arguably one of the best pitchers of all time, from way back in the day. Washington Senators legend. You can't talk about the history of baseball without bringing up Walter Johnson for, you know, any baseball historians out there. So I'm pretty damn confident in him.
Okay. I like that pick too. I'm going to be very specific, like extremely specific here.
Let's say there's no way you were picking me, my guy. So
this is a hometown pick, but it's still a great pick.
Oh, here comes Pedro. Here he comes.
Give me 1999 Pedro Martinez on the bump.
I went with Pedro too.
That's why I was contemplating on going first. Listen, Pedro in 99 was dominant. Nobody could touch him. He should have won probably MVP that year. If it wasn't for Pudge and if it wasn't for that reporter that didn't even put him on the MVP ballot. But give me 99 Pedro against any lineup in the world. What he was doing that year when I was 6 years old, absolute stud. Absolute stud. Could not do any better. So give me 99 Pedro. So just to recap our picks, Maddie took Walter Johnson, Powder took the big unit, Randy Johnson. I took 1999 Pedro Martinez. Anything else we want to get off our chest before we head out for the week?
I got nothing.
Mr. Auburn. Okay. As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legend Single Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcast. Make sure to check out everything on studentunionsports.com, at studentunionsports.com, and at studentunionsports on all social media platforms. If you want to get into the sports media industry, whether it is writing, podcasting, editing, whatever, please make sure to hit up Liam Smith at studentunionsports.com. Tom Powder Cadmus. Maddie Burnett, who looks like an idiot. I'm your host, Alan Hagan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Episode 250, by the way, folks.
Big episode.
250, halfway to 300.
In the books. We'll see you next week for episode 251.
Yes, sir.